Good Tuesday morning, all. We are the Junks, are coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan, if you're listening in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network. Listen to the show wherever you download podcasts. Just search Sports Junkies when you do that. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, if you're handy like that, just go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join that team today. You got a three-man Junks team this Tuesday. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes on your Twitter, at Cakes Flops on Instagram. John Paul Flame is right there.
What's up, Cakesy?
Hello, good morning to you. Jason Bishop is right here, directly in front of me.
Yeah, what's up?
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. There was nobody on the road this morning. I think the vacations have officially started today.
People have already started to get away. I noticed it yesterday afternoon when I drove home. Because usually, driving home on the B-dub out of D.C., it's snarled. People just drive like maniacs, driving on the shoulder. It's congested, kind of like I am this morning. And yesterday was fine. I mean, I could have driven in both lanes if I wanted to. No issues.
Because the toll road is usually empty, but there was even less people on it today. Yeah. And then once I got on 66, wide open. Usually it's, you know, it kind of depends on the day, but on a Tuesday it's pretty crowded. Not today. Nobody's on the road. Wait till Thursday. We'll be talking to nobody on Thursday.
I feel like a life leak of mine is using the ICC in the morning to get here just because it's convenient and it's so easy and it's so wide open. But
it costs you cash.
I'm paying for it.
Yeah.
I'm paying to use it every single day. It just adds up. It just keeps adding up and adding up. And then I see the bill come every month, and I look at the front, and then I look at the back page, and then I go to the second page, and I look at the front of that and the back. Just bleeding cash.
Yep.
What do you spend a month on the ICC?
I mean, between my wife and I, because she uses it to go to school for her commute. I mean,
a couple hundred bucks
per month. It's probably $120. But I mean, I don't have to use it. It's a convenience.
Oh, mine's a lot more than that.
It's convenience, and I like convenience.
Yeah, the Greenway is way more expensive.
I like comfort.
Well, I get off before the Greenway. I get off on, well, sometimes, but unless I'm rushing around. But I'll take Route 28. I'll avoid the Greenway. I'm not paying freaking $10 one way. I'm not doing that. It's $20 round trip.
Yeah, it's a lot. By the way, you mentioned that nobody will be on the road Thursday. Is the airport going to be a debacle Thursday when I go for a flight, when I go back to the airport?
And your flight's in late afternoon?
3 you o'clock.
Yeah, probably, I would say.
It's probably
which one?
A zoo, B-dubs.
I mean, I would think that a lot of people, if they're getting out of town, they're getting out of town Thursday. Maybe Wednesday's will be more crowded. But it won't be empty.
I'm sure it won't be.
I can tell you that.
I'm sure my flight won't be empty either.
Do you have a special red, white, and blue suit for the 4th of July?
No, I mean,
in the poker tournament?
I do not. I don't have any real plans as to what to wear for the WSOP. I'm gonna dress for comfort.
Yeah.
Kind of like the way I'm dressed right now.
And you don't find out until you get there when you play?
I'm wavering between playing on July 4th, July 5th. I just don't know yet.
So you can choose.
It is my choice.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I think I'm going to choose to take off on the 4th and play on the 5th.
Okay.
But if I do that, then I don't have a break if I make it to day 2.
Right.
I just keep playing until I get knocked out.
So what will you do on the 4th by yourself?
I have no idea.
Will you just play cash games somewhere?
Possibly. I mean,
what else are you going to do in Vegas?
What else would I do?
You're not going to go sightsee. You're not going to go to the pool.
Sightseeing?
Right. You're not doing any of that.
Not going to go see a show.
You're not going to see a show. You're going
to
go.
I mean, I might go out to a nice dinner. I might meet up with somebody that I know that's out there.
Right.
But
that's at night. All day.
Yeah,
you're going to just.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you're going to be at a table somewhere.
You're probably right. That's most likely going to be the case.
No zoos out there, animals for you to see.
I mean, I'm sure they have zoos, JP, when it's 110 degrees all the time.
Yeah. I mean, aquariums.
Maybe Vegas has a zoo. I don't know. That's a great question. I don't have any idea.
I don't know about Vegas, but Phoenix definitely has a zoo.
Phoenix does.
Like, how do Phoenix in Vegas?
How do they do that with the scalding hot temperatures.
Well, the animals probably just go inside.
They just come out in the morning. And
then when it's like 115 degrees.
Animals that like the desert. Like
African animals. I'm sure they do. I don't know. They do have animals that live in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely an aquarium at the Mandalay Bay if you're into the animals cakes.
I mean,
I get it. You're into the animals with the wife. This is a poker trip.
I can't remember going to Vegas and gambling wasn't the headline. Actually, when I went with my wife, who went to go see OAR, that was, you know, years ago. That was probably the only time I've been to Vegas when it wasn't about seeing flops, being a degen, trying to felt people.
There's got to be a zoo in Vegas, though.
I wouldn't have any idea.
I mean, it's too popular of a city. I mean, you got to have something for the kids to do.
I mean, they do have golf courses in Vegas. Somehow they keep golf courses lush and green in Vegas.
Right.
Which seems impossible.
I mean, dude, if it's the zoo, the National Zoo here gets 105 degrees index, they just stay inside.
Yeah.
Unless they like it.
By the way, the San Diego Zoo, this blew my mind, Drab. They had a polar bear.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that's their... I somehow knew that. Maybe that's their panda of their zoo.
I mean, it just blows my mind. Like, there's a polar bear chilling in San Diego where it's 71 degrees all the time.
Was there a mist blowing on
you? I have no idea. I can barely see it, but I know it was in the enclosure. That kind of threw me.
Matt and Mike... How was your morning so far?
Good. There's definitely a Las Vegas zoo.
There is.
Yeah, they got a whole, they got a camel safari.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
It looks like they got a lot of stuff.
They got a lot of stuff out there.
Okay, if you say so.
Have you ever checked out the Red Rocks or like the Hoover Dam or anything?
Never.
There's some good sites out there.
I mean,
20 minutes off the strip.
I mean, I've been to Vegas a half dozen times. I've never gone to any sort of landmark off the strip. I'm just the ultimate rube gambling tourist.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not there to see the Hoover Dam. Are you serious?
I'm on the zoo map. They might have a panda.
Really? Yeah. Pandas are everywhere.
Not a panda bear.
Yeah.
Cakes always sense to let people know.
I softened my stance on that.
You did?
I think a panda is actually a form of a bear.
I've relied on you for years because you would mad when people would say a panda bear.
No. I think it was a koala. People used to call the koala. Koalas. It's not a koala bear.
Yeah, it's not a koala bear. It's just a koala. Yeah,
so then I kind of put that on the pandas too, because I was ignorant. But a panda, last time I checked, is a form of a bear.
When did you say that?
Years ago, a long time ago. But I've updated my file. What are you going to do? So no, I will not be going to the Hoover Dam, the Vegas Zoo.
Yeah, just go out and gamble.
I'm not going to do a side trip to the Grand Canyon. That's dumb because I've, flown over the Grand Canyon multiple times. I've seen it. I don't need to get right up on it to see it.
No. I thought the Hoover Dam was pretty silly.
You did?
Well, it's like American feat during ingenuity. Yes, at the time. I don't know.
When was it even built? Like the early,
like 100 years ago,
1920s, 1930s.
Something like that.
Great Depression era. I just don't know these things.
I think so.
I probably should know these things, but I don't.
Should you name another dam besides Hoover?
Besides the Hoover Dam? It's a great question.
I'm sure there are probably a couple of
the Hoover was built in 1931.
Okay. I was at least close there.
Depression.
Can I name another dam besides the Hoover Dam? Man, you're really putting me on the spot here, Drab. I don't think I can. Can you?
That's got to be the tops.
I can only name a couple others. There's a bunch in Washington.
Is there like a Cooley Dam?
Yeah, there you go. There's a Grand Chris Cooley
Dam
in Washington State.
You know what? That's a dub for me. In dub state?
Yeah.
Very good. That's a win. I'll take that as a life win.
I would never be able to give you the Aswan Dam, which is number 8 on this list.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, can't do that. But anyway, speaking of water, there's going to be some big thunder boomers coming in today.
Water. That's what people said yesterday. There was nothing.
No. They said it was going to be.
People said yesterday.
They said it was going to be spotty yesterday.
Okay.
But today, so I think that the Nats game is going to be affected by it because it's going to be coming through DC right around first pitch, and they're going to be big. And you know I love big storms.
I trust you as you are my de facto weatherman.
Just go look at the forecast. Look at the forecast. Between 4 and 8 big ones coming through.
Honestly, the only time I see forecasts is here at work. Because the TVs in the break room, like near the bathrooms.
Yeah, I got you.
They're always on Fox 5. So I always see like a forecast there.
Yeah.
The only other place I see a forecast is on my phone.
Well,
I'm not as
you can just ask me. They're going to be coming
you're
in.
You're my guy.
And kind of depending where you are,
there's
a 90% chance that you're going to get a storm.
Okay.
And I think they're going to hit D.C. probably around 7, 6:37, maybe 8. But no, probably earlier than
you're
that.
You're definitely going to be pulled up on your back porch with a drink, watching them roll in. I know you. That's what you're going to do.
No, front porch. Front porch. Yeah, front porch.
Glass of wine.
Maybe. Possibly.
Yeah. Break that thing open.
But we need it because there's a cooler front coming in and the humidity is going to drop on Thursday and Friday. They say Friday is going to be perfect. Now, it's going to be warm because it's going to be high 80s, but the humidity is going to be a lot lower. So you won't be sweating your balls off when you're out walking your dog.
Ready to do the fireworks bit?
I'm just going to a buddy's house.
Is that one of your things?
No, that's not one of my things. I'll probably be asleep before the fireworks hit. 9:30, 10 o'clock. No thanks.
Valdez, have you loaded up on fireworks yet? Have you gone to Gorilla Fireworks?
I have not. I haven't gone to the fireworks stand.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love fireworks. Because fireworks are for hillbillies.
They are. I guess I could. I'm guessing Vegas has a spectacular fireworks show somewhere.
I'm assuming they do, too.
I'm not even that into fireworks, but maybe because it's in Vegas, I'll go out and check it out.
I love fireworks. You know what? God bless you. If you're the guy in the community or neighborhood or wherever, and you're spending $5,000 to $10,000 on fireworks to give everyone a show.
Man, that's a big outlay.
You know what? I salute you.
Yeah.
You are the man's man. You are the keeper of the cul-de-sac.
You're an American hero.
You're an American hero.
Is what you are.
You really are. You give all the kids in the cul-de-sac a show.
Like hand them out sparklers.
Like it's expensive to put on like a big old fireworks show.
Well,
like,
I would imagine.
Like off of your dock or like
well, you're talking
in your
about,
driveway.
You're talking about a renegade show, obviously, where it's not like licensed. I mean you're
I mean, like I said, you're a hillbilly
you're
and you have a party and you're entertaining your party of 50.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a great
American
tradition.
That's a massive investment.
Yep.
And if you're the guy who does that, I salute you.
Yes, exactly. Like AC/DC back in the day. Excellent. All right, coming up on this Tuesday show later, Chris Miles, NBA TV host, he's going to join us coming up at 9 to talk about some of the signings that have gone down so far in NBA free agency. We'll do the Junks sports page next, and we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler as he comes to Capital One Arena later this summer in late September. So that's all coming up here on the Junks on the Fan. Forgive me if I seem a bit distraught. I was coming back from the bathroom and Mike Marr and Drab were tossing the football like right outside of the studio. And I was lingering close to the corner where Drab couldn't see me. He was about 10 feet down the hallway. And I timed it perfectly. I knew he was about to throw the ball to Mike Marr. Mike Marr was ready for it. I broke on the ball. Drab didn't see me. I got it with both hands, and I booted it.
Oh,
I did.
You Malik Nabers
it. I couldn't bring it in.
Drab, you weren't Jalen Ramsey. You were trying to be Jalen Ramsey.
I was trying to be Jalen Ramsey, and I succeeded about...
You were Benjamin St. Juice.
About 90% of it, and then I had my moment of glory, and I fumbled it.
Cake St. Juiced.
I feel bad about it.
Mm.
Yeah, Cake St. Juice. Yep. Flying his trade now, I believe, for the Chargers?
I think you're right.
I think that's correct. Commanders fans,
you
got to
work on that. Work on your hands.
Yeah, I got to work on it. Yeah, it's true.
Did you want to jump into Terry here?
Yeah, let's do that.
Jump into Terry.
So Terry McLaurin, everybody knows, is trying to negotiate an extension with the Washington Commanders. And everybody's like, don't worry about it. Training camp's 3 weeks away. It's going to get done. It's going to get taken care of. The Commanders love Terry. Terry loves the Commanders. You know, they'll bridge the gap at some point. But Adam Schefter dropped a bomb yesterday that made it sound like it might not be as close as people think. Here's Adam Schefter, ESPN insider from yesterday.
Last time we talked to you, we mentioned how Terry McLaurin and Washington are pretty far apart on his, you know, new contract. He's not happy about that. Has there been any progress with that whole situation, or do you have any kind of update there?
That's a tough one. I know there is an update. There's no update, which is the update, and that's the problem. The problem is with this particular situation. I think Terry McLaurin is going to argue that we've seen other wide receivers who his numbers are comparable to, like Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and DK Metcalf, get paid over $30 million a year this offseason. And I think the Commanders then can say yes, but Mike Evans, who also has had comparable numbers, is at $24 million. So there really is quite a difference and a gap between what both sides would want. They have not made any progress. I would think that we'll see if there are any teams that decide to come snooping around Terry McLaurin to see if they could try to pry loose Terry McLaurin, who, by the way, I cannot envision the Commanders moving on from, no matter how disgruntled he may be. Again, it's sort of like T.J. Watt. You can't imagine that these two sides, as far apart as they are today, wouldn't be able to somehow find a way to bridge their differences and figure out a solution. But today, McLaurin and the Commanders are not close. Watt and the Steelers are not close. And those will be two of the storylines that we are tracking as we get ready for training camp.
So I guess the one of the key passages there is other teams coming around.
Snooping.
Trying to pry him away from the Commanders. Well, I would be stunned if the Commanders dealt Terry McLaurin away.
Yeah,
like they're in. This is a team that's in win now mode with a cheap rookie quarterback. They finally found their quarterback and they're not paying him a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you trade away your best offensive piece outside of Jaden Daniels? Like, that just would seem shocking to me if it were even being entertained.
Well, that's where I agree with Schefter. He says, I cannot envision the Commanders moving on.
I can't either.
No matter how disgruntled he may be. I agree with that.
And look, if Terry's representative is going in to Adam Peters and saying, we want to get paid on the same level as Ja'Marr Chase, who's making over $40 million a year.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I would see Adam Peters and the front office balking and saying, look, we love you, Terry, but you're not going to get a deal that starts with a four.
Yeah.
Like, you just need to take that sort
of... McLaurin...
If that's what you're thinking...
Then McLaurin and his agent are hallucinating if they
if
think that
that's what they're asking for. Now, I don't know
and
what
And I doubt they
for.
Are. I doubt they are.
I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe that's part of the reason.
Well,
why
maybe they're asking for that because maybe they feel like we can meet in the middle at somewhere in the mid-30s.
Right.
But he knows, McLaurin knows, and McLaurin's agent knows, he ain't getting $40 million a year. He might get 33, 34. I'd be surprised if it's higher than that.
I don't know if he would get 33, 34.
He might not.
If the Commanders try to base this out on Mike Evans as the barometer, I think $10 million extra a year is an astronomical cost to Adam Peters.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Evans, his AAV is way down this list. He's at $20.5 million. And I mean, Terry's basically, he's already making that. Like, his AAV is at $23.2 million, according to this list that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
So he's already beating Mike Evans. So, like,
But the difference in, you know, $35 million a year versus $28 million a year,
right,
is pretty high. It's pretty significant.
Yeah. Look, I heard Joel Corey on with Kevin Sheehan yesterday, and he basically said anything lower than what T. Higgins is bringing in is a non-starter, and that number is 28.7.
Mm-hmm.
Because T. Higgins is a number two receiver on the Bengals. Now, he's got the problem of Ja'Marr Chase being in front of him. He'd be a number one on a lot of teams, but on his team, he's a number two.
Yeah.
So that makes sense that, like, they have to be going into Adam Peters and whoever else is negotiating saying, we're not taking a penny less than 28.7. Like, that's your floor.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't see him making Justin Jefferson money either. That's $35 million.
I don't see that either.
You got to find, like, a happy medium there.
Right. And it's probably going to be in the low 30s. It might be around 30.
I mean, here's what some of the guys who are making in the low 30s. Tyreek Hill's making $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Ayuk is making $30 million. A.J. Brown, $32 million. Amon-Ra St. Brown is making $30 million. Like, I think that's Terry's neighborhood. Like, if he thinks his neighborhood is CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson, that's where, if I'm Adam Peters, I might be pushing back. Like, we love you, but I don't know if we love you quite that, like, see, to the tune of $35 million.
The problem for the negotiation is that McLaurin put up a huge season, he did, statistically.
And
if he had put up 6 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns, 8 right, touchdowns, right, something normal for him, you know, this probably wouldn't go as far. But the fact that he put up 13,
and his agent,
that's why his agent's comparing statistics.
And I'm sure his agent is arguing,
yeah,
like, he would have been putting these numbers up every year had Jaden Daniels been throwing him the ball since he came into the league. But that's not the case.
So it's not a perfect world.
Right.
Don't you think it's just a situation where there's no urgency right now? There's no real urgency on July 1st.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to July 15th, the urgency increases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll get done. Maybe it gets done first week of training camp.
Yeah.
But right now, it's not really hurting them. The Commanders are kind of in a stalemate position of saying, okay, this is where our offer's at. And of course, Terry's people want more money.
But I would agree. They're not in an urgent state now. I think that once you get to mid-July, you know, a week out of camp, all right, starts getting a little dicey.
Mm-hmm.
Once camp starts, okay, then now it's starting to get serious. But even if they're a week into camp and they agree to a deal, that happens all
it's
the time.
Fine. It's not like he's a rookie trying to find his way. Like, he's an established vet.
Right.
I think we're way past the nonchalant, it will get done. The number one NFL insider just went on the number one sports talk show in America and used the words disgruntled and concerning and entertained the idea of trading him.
Right.
Yeah, but he also said he can't envision them trading him.
But he brought it up. But now it's being discussed.
It makes it more interesting to throw it out there.
Adam Schefter doesn't do that. Adam Schefter doesn't just throw stuff out there to be interesting. I think he engages in conversations that he's hearing. He probably can't see that, but it's not, I don't think, impossible if you listen to what he's saying.
Nothing's impossible.
I think
would have to blow Adam Peters away with a trade offer for him to get rid of a 13-touchdown receiver. You'd have to blow him away.
Adam Peters doesn't think he's a 13-touchdown receiver, or he'd give him $35 million a year.
Well, he likes this. He knows he's a 13-touchdown guy. It's just the fact that he's not 27.
Right. He doesn't like the fact that his...
Yeah. If he's 27, okay, these numbers...
Then why wouldn't he give him a three-year deal for $35 million?
Because he feels like at that age, that's probably still too high.
Well, he probably doesn't...
He could give him a three-year deal at $30 million.
Yeah, he doesn't give him the $35 million because he looks at the guy who's making $35 million and... Sorry, all of you Terry McLaurin lovers and sycophants. Yeah. I love the guy too. He's not Justin Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not. He's just not on Justin Jefferson's level.
I mean, unless
Jefferson's
the offense
is a better player.
Unless the offense completely dips, if McLaurin stays healthy, he's going to put up double-digit touchdowns.
You would think.
And Peters knows that.
I think even if he regresses, he's like a 9 or 10 touchdown guy.
But in the third year, okay, well, that's you'll be almost 33, if not 33, then. You know, that's why they don't want to give you that much money per year. But I do agree with Schefter. I cannot envision them trading Terry McLaurin.
800-636-1067 if you want to call in and weigh on the latest from Adam Schefter concerning Terry McLaurin. Basically saying there's been no movement. The sides are pretty far apart at this point as we're 3 weeks out from training camp for the Commanders. 800-636-1067. What is your level of concern that there hasn't been an extension hammered out between the two sides?
What's your level of concern, Cakes?
I mean, scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 3. I'm just not that.
I'm not even there at a three.
Now if it's July 20th and I keep hearing that the sides are super far apart and training camp's about to start, then that'll ramp up to like a 6 or a 7.
Well, the last time they went through this dance 3 years ago, he signed on July 6th or 7th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I'd be at a 2 or 3 right now. Get past the 6th or 7th, be like, okay, this is a little different than the last go round.
Now, if they've gotten to like the second preseason game and he's not signed, then I'm at like a 15 out of 10. Then I'm concerned because then you're two plus weeks out from the week one opener.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm really concerned.
Of course.
I mean, if he misses multiple weeks of training camp and preseason games, not like he's going to play in a lot of preseason games and see a lot of action there, but it just means things are dragging between the two sides, and it's getting contentious at that point. It might already be contentious as we speak.
I just think eventually they're going to meet in the middle, and they're both going to be content with the deal. All right, they might be off by a million or two, but McLaurin wants to play with Jaden Daniels.
Of course.
He knows he's going to put up numbers.
He knows his value is highest with Jaden Daniels throwing him the ball.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't want to get traded to some podunk average passing offense.
Right.
I know he wants to get paid, and he will. He's going to get FU money is what he's going to get.
Yeah. I mean, he's already gotten it. I mean, and he's a smart dude. Like, he's going to have money when he's 60 or 70 years old.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of that even before he inks this latest deal. He's a grounded, smart dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going to get the money that the McLaurins in the year 2100 are still spending.
Yeah. But if they, now the TJ Watt trade rumors, those are a lot louder.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Those voices are a lot louder. And so I could see TJ Watt getting dealt because they might be even further apart. But I just don't see Terry getting dealt. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't.
Because the passing offense really takes a hit unless they trade for another a young receiver.
Yeah, and then everything's on Debo Samuel.
Then everything's on Debo. And Adam Peters doesn't want to do that.
No.
He doesn't want to put everything on Debo.
He wants Debo to complement Terry McLaurin and the rest of the offense.
Yeah.
He doesn't want Debo to be his number one guy in a prove-it year in the last year of his deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy.
And like you said, it's July 1st. If it's July 21st and they're still, and Schefter's reporting this on July 21st.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's a lot bigger of a deal. I just don't see it happening.
800-636-1067. If you want to weigh in on the latest from Adam Schefter as far as Terry McLaurin's contract not being worked out between the two sides, I would love to be a fly on the wall as Terry sits down with his agent and just hear the back and forth and what the progress or lack of progress is, how frustrated he is with it. If he's frustrated with Adam Peters and the negotiators for the Commanders.
It would be interesting.
It would be.
Yeah.
I wish I knew Terry's agent.
But again, don't get freaked out 1st of July.
Yeah, don't lose your mind. It's going to be okay. Most likely it gets rectified a few days before training camp convenes.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it'll get done sometime in the next 3 weeks. Maybe sooner.
If I'm Terry's agent, I would just walk in and say, just give us a DK Metcalf deal. Give us $33 million per year.
That's all.
Because his numbers are comparable and or better than Metcalf's across the board.
I wonder if Peters will balk at that.
I mean, the only issue is Terry's a little bit older than DK Metcalf.
Correct.
DK's 28.
DK pwns Terry and TDs. Don't say that.
Well, overall, yeah.
Right. Okay.
And they have the same amount of yards. What stats are you looking at? Tell me what stats you're looking at.
He's just looking at last year's stats.
I need to do a side-by-side.
Go look at their career stats. DK's a touchdown machine.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. But he's younger. That's why he's getting paid that. But you are correct. But if DK Metcalf had the quarterbacks that Terry had, he wouldn't have put up those numbers.
Hey, I don't understand this. Why do you think TJ Watt is more likely to get traded than Terry? TJ Watt's, new contract that he wants. The difference is probably the same, if not less, than what Terry's asking for.
Why do I think? I don't know. I don't know that he's going to get traded.
I know, but you said you could see TJ Watt getting dealt more so than
Terry.
Well,
I just think that the rumors of him getting dealt are just louder than the ones that Terry, because you really haven't heard Terry asking for a trade or his agent asking for a trade.
And the Steelers have been active, too.
I just think the TJ Watt trade rumors, I don't know, I just believe them more.
Steelers,
I'm not saying he will get traded.
Steelers have been active in the offseason. I mean, I guess you could say that Washington was, but they just made a trade yesterday.
Yeah, they made
Commanders
a big deal.
Traded for Debo. They traded for Tunsil. Commanders have been active, too.
They have. Steelers are trying to go for it with a 41-year-old quarterback.
I mean, just the numbers between, I guess, Crosby's extension and Miles Garrett's extension, based off of what TJ makes, is very similar, if not less than what Terry's asking for, compared to DK, compared to Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Last go round, Terry McLaurin signed his deal on July 6th. So you pass July 6th, then I'm going to raise my eyebrows a little bit. Maybe I'll get it to a 4. But I'm with you, Cakes. I'd be at a 3, maybe even a 2 where Jason's at right now.
I'm not even at a two. I'm at a one.
Oh, okay. You're at a one.
I think it's important to note that it's different owner, different GM.
That is true.
That, yeah, completely different front office. Much more competent owner, much more competent front office than what was previously here. So maybe, you know what? Maybe Adam Peters and his staff
a front office that a front office that would give him a bag because they like him so much and not worry about the ramifications of the salary cap.
Right. I mean, this regime did not draft Terry McLaurin. I mean, they love him, we think, but they have no real ties to him as far as picking him out of college.
So Matt and Matt, you guys are voicing
I think this is a six. I think this is a six.
Okay, I was going to ask you.
It's not even close to a six. It's not even close to a six. Not on July 1st.
Trab, how do you feel?
I think if Adam Schefter is using the word disgruntled and concerning, it cannot be anything lower than a five.
Well, he could be disgruntled, but they also could reach a deal in a week.
Well, they could also not reach a deal and trade him to the Steelers.
That ain't happening. What do you want to bet on that, that he gets traded? Tell me what you want to bet.
Let's get a wager. Let's get it going.
No, I'm not going to.
Because you don't believe it's going to happen. That's truly what you don't believe.
Okay, give me 5-1 odds.
5-1 odds.
You're pretty resolute.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you want 4-1 odds, then you're not really calling it a five.
No, they're. You know what?
I don't know.
They're
what
zigging when we're zagging. All right. My 25.
I'll zag with Adam Schefter.
My $100 to your $25. He does not get traded.
Well, I'm not going to. I'll bet you 5-20.
Oh, see.
Whatever.
Yeah, see, he doesn't feel that confident.
Well, I don't
care. He just wants to go.
I'm giving you 4-1 odds. My $25 to your 100.
Okay, well, then I'm only going to pay you if they get the deal done before the season.
Oh, now there's a caveat.
Well, if he doesn't play or they franchise him.
All right, you know what?
Then that's a void bet.
No.
Get it done. Don't worry.
If he gets traded at all, you win the bet. If he does not get traded, even if he gets franchised, I win the bet. I'm telling you, he's not getting traded.
I'm giving you
4-1 odds.
Okay. You guys be nonchalant in there and say this is no issue.
I don't think it is.
It's a 3 as of right now.
If it was July 21st, I would erase that.
Get back to me in 2 weeks if he's still on.
July 1st, I just don't believe it. You just let me know if you want to do that deal.
Do you think Adam Peters is sitting in his office with his feet on his desk going, it's July 1st. Get back to me in 20 days, Terry.
Well, he's not the one negotiating.
No. I don't believe that. I believe they want to get it done. They just have to work out the numbers. And they'll figure it out because they know Terry McLaurin is important.
Who's negotiating?
I don't buy into they don't have any ties to him because they didn't draft him. They know how important he is to this team.
Well, they're not going to be fiscally irresponsible because...
I didn't say that either.
Well, they're just...
They're not going to be irresponsible, but they're going to come to an agreement on a number that makes sense for both parties.
To answer your question, I forget the guy's name, but it's been reported Peters is not the guy who negotiates the contracts. They have a guy.
You got a salary cap cruncher expert.
Yeah, but you know Peters is involved.
He's the
capologist. That doesn't mean
it's not Adams like is. Yeah, it's not like Peters is just at his house waiting for a phone call.
Let me know when the deal's done.
No, I believe Peters. I just believe it'll get done.
All right, coming up later on the show at 9 o'clock, we'll talk NBA free agency with Chris Miles, NBA TV host. He'll join the show at 9 a.m. So a crazy scene unfolded on a Disney cruise ship over the weekend. This happened on Sunday when the Disney Dream was returning to Fort Lauderdale after a 4-day cruise in the Bahamas. A 4-year-old girl goes over, I think she was 4 or 5. I want to get that correct.
Oh, I didn't see the age.
I think she was 4. 4 years old, goes overboard. Her dad realizes that she went over the side. Dad jumps in after her, finds her, keeps her afloat for 15 minutes while the Disney Dream crew got a boat into the water and went and rescued them.
It's incredible.
I mean, that's amazing. I mean, now, parents are, they're donks, in the first place for not watching their kid, and their kid goes overboard.
Right.
But then that gets erased by the heroism of the dad jumping in. Now, I would think most dads would try this to save their kid. I mean, sure. your kid gone overboard. You need to go in and try to save them. But that's a crazy scene that unfolded on that cruise ship. Can you imagine?
They're saying that it was also lucky it didn't happen at night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
happens never, in the day.
They were never found them.
And they said also by the height of the deck.
Yeah, but I mean, even that deck is probably, I don't know, 50 or 60 feet above the water. I don't know. I have no idea. I've never been on a cruise ship.
I don't think it's that high. Because
so maybe it's 20 or 30 feet?
I think it's below where all the rooms are, okay. And there's like a big, like a walking path
sure.
around the boat.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's definitely railings. How do you lose your four-year-old daughter?
I would assume
how are you not holding her hand or carrying her?
They weren't watching carefully enough. Yeah. She scales over and tumbles over the side.
How easy it is to lose a four-year-old for a few seconds.
On a boat, I would not lose my four-year-old.
You got to have your hands on them, basically. They have to be within arm's reach the whole time.
Yeah.
I think he put her on the railing. That's what I'm seeing in the report.
Well, then he's simultaneously the world's best dad and worst dad. If that's the case. If he put her up on the railing and then she just fell over. That's horrible, Dad.
Yeah.
I do with that.
If that's true, it's the worst decision maker in history.
I didn't read that. Where did you see that? Is that what they're saying?
I'm just reading that in some of the reports on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
That she didn't fall overboard, you know.
Yeah. He didn't lose her and she climbed the railing.
A great dad for jumping in, but also a terrible dad for putting her in that situation.
Correct. Donked dad at first, but he vindicated himself. Like, oh, yeah, it's
how long would it take for a cruise ship to turn around? That thing slowed down, turned around, and came back to the site.
Probably 20 minutes.
It was a half hour?
I mean, I would think.
But they got them. That's incredible.
Needle in a haystack.
I mean, usually that story is drunk person falls off at 2 a.m.
And they don't recover.
Well, they
don't find
them. They just don't know that that person fell over.
Right. They don't find
him. And then the next morning, people are like, where's Jim? And then there's video of him going over the side of the boat at 2 in the morning.
I read in 2023, so a couple years ago, 25 people fell off of cruise ships. Only 9 of them survived.
That seems like a high number.
Yeah, but like you said, most of them are probably hammered.
Probably thousands of cruises worldwide every year. Like, so maybe it's not that big of a number.
Yeah.
But it feels like a big number when you go overboard after you've had 10 drinks and then you're stranded in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and nobody knows where you are. And then you tread water for however long you can and then you just bloop, 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 go down to the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just terrible.
I mean,
terrible fate.
They were on it. As soon as they fell in, the loudspeaker
said,
man overboard,
right.
portside.
Yeah.
And then they dropped the rescue button.
Give the ship credit.
And there was probably a thousand passengers pointing to where they are.
I'm sure.
But still, I mean.
But I mean, just imagine.
Just to keep a four-year-old above water.
Yeah, you're the dad. You've jumped overboard. You locate the kid. And then you have to tread water with the kid for like 15 minutes till the boat comes to rescue you.
You probably go into a different state of mind.
I guess.
Realizing that this is it.
Yeah, this is like.
You've got to keep her above.
Yeah.
We've got to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Drive to survive. Not the F1 series, Drab. Like, survive real life.
A little different.
Yeah, a little bit different.
I'm not saying it would be easy. The four-year-old maybe is able to swim. And may be able to float a little bit.
Okay. Able to swim in a pool where there aren't 10-foot waves, you know, and
this would be a little different.
That's different than jumping in the 5-foot section of the pool. Being out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. With waves everywhere, the waves that are being created by the cruise ship turning around, that's way different.
What are the chances this dad ever goes on a cruise again?
I would guess zero.
Well, using your logic, isn't he free rolling? Is that going to happen again?
I know I'll never go on a cruise. I've never been on a cruise, and I'll never go on a cruise
ship. I'm with you. I'm 1,000. Unless
4,000 people in that tight of a space can't do
it. The carve out is if we ever did a junks cruise where we got handsomely compensated for signing people up to go on the cruise.
I don't even know if I'd do it then.
That is my one carve out.
I've said it before.
JP
I've done
would
a cruise
do it for free. He loves
I know,
it.
I know.
And my wife and I had a great time. Now I gained about 10 pounds in a week.
Sure.
Cuz there was unlimited cookies. Mm. That was my go-to right before bed and the food actually was really good.
Yeah.
Hit 4 islands in 4 days. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
My buddy went. His wife went on a cruise from. They flew to California, and they took a cruise ship to Hawaii.
That's a long cruise.
It took them 4 days to get to Hawaii. middle of the ocean for 4 days. No thanks.
Never heard of a cruise ship going from California to Hawaii, but I guess it happens.
They do. And then they came back, and they came to – he flew out of San Francisco, and I think they came back to maybe L.A., and then they took another ship from L.A. to San Francisco. Anyway, they were in the middle of the ocean basically for 8 days.
And they probably loved it.
Yeah, they loved it. Yeah. They like cruises. I could not do that.
You like Tom Cruise.
No chance.
That's about where you max out.
No chance.
Lance. Exactly. All right, when we come back, we're going to pivot to the Washington Nationals. Are the Nats owners, the Lerners, skipping on a competitive edge that could help the team? We'll get into that next here on The Fan.